Detective Leslie Consorte didn't like being woken in the middle of the night. In fact, he didn't like it enough to have turned off his cell phone and taken his home phone off the hook. The desk sergeant, a busybody named Roman Stevenson, had felt the situation warranted sending a unit by his house to pound on his door until he had dragged himself out from under his warm sheets, grumbling, groaning, and belching out every cuss word in the English language, and a few based loosely on Latin roots. Crapicia, Chitaglia, Cock Pluribus. Stevenson hadn't been wrong. Leaning on his car door and surveying the damage, Leslie dreamed of the stacks of paperwork headed his way. A fifth-year cop named LePere, dressed in uniform blues, approached, picking through the crime scene. Not so much to preserve evidence as to preserve her clothes. LePere was a handsome young woman, close-cropped hair of tight black curls, dark skin, driven, focused, taller than Leslie by at least a couple inches. It goes on for another 3 miles.
This is a grisly thing here.
Leslie squinted his eyes, staring down the dilapidated Claremont Street. Claremont was proof positive that racism was a baseless concept, or, put more simply, that white people could screw up a community just as efficiently as any other race. It was a rotten little housing project of about 1,400 units. Dirt lawns, peeling paint, ugly, unwashed cars and motorhomes and non-working boats. This street was particularly bad because it was smeared with blood, muscle, and bone. Someone had been dragged behind the bumper of a GMC truck for about a mile.
What are we looking at? Leslie asked.
Dispatch got a call at 12:03. A neighbor reported hearing screaming, squealing tires, and then a grinding sound. Desk jockey logged it as a domestic dispute, though I think that's a bit of an underclassification.
That's funny, LePere. Any chance we can identify the victim?
It's unlikely. There's only about a third of the body left. It shook loose from the car down by the mesa. Leslie crouched in the street, running his hand over the drying blood. Radley found fragments of a jawbone in the next block over. We might be able to get a dental match. I also managed to extricate a patch of hair from the fender of the murder car. I've bagged it for a DNA analysis. A SID team is prepping the car for impound over on Derrick Drive.
What do you want to know about this?
Let's knock on a door or two, Leslie suggested.
Leslie and LePere walked up the nearest driveway. Leslie's suit looked like he carried it to work in a plastic bag. The top button was loose on the shirt. His tie hung low. The edges of the cuffs were frayed, and the collar was badly wrinkled. Leslie believed it was possible to machine wash and dry his dress shirts. The collar, it seemed to him, was the only part that didn't turn out so great. Before they reached the door, Leslie pulled LePere to a stop.
I forgot something, he said.
He dug around in his pocket, finally drawing out a shiny, metallic object roughly the size of a billfold. He handed it to LePere. LePere fumbled with it, trying to get it open with shaky hands.
Is this what I think it is? She said.
Congratulations, detective. The captain passed word down to me as I was leaving work. I was going to tell you tomorrow, but I guess this is tomorrow.
LePere didn't say anything else, but her eyes never left the badge. It reminded Leslie of his ex-wife's expression when he'd first popped open the engagement ring box.
It's a good moment, LePere. You only make detective once, if you're lucky. Enjoy it.
Leslie waited a moment while LePere polished the badge in the front of her shirt.
Let's solve this case, huh? After you, Inspector.
Are you going to show me how to grill a witness?
I will show you the ways of the master.
The nearest house was a tiny 3-1 with a rotting fence and weed-strewn yard. Leslie knocked on the door. They waited a few minutes. LePere pulled out her badge to look at it again, and Leslie told her to put it away. He knocked again, louder this time. No one answered. They moved to the next house, walking directly across the lawn. It was a small structure, probably close to 700 square feet. The roof was dilapidated. A Trump 2024 flag waved above the faded painting of a bald eagle, its wings stretching wide across the garage. They knocked and waited.
No one answered. On the third house, a blonde woman in her 50s came to the door. She was wearing pajamas covered by a tattered robe. Her hair was unwashed and had a frizzy, fried texture Leslie always associated with the very poor and the chemically addicted. She smelled of recently smoked cigarettes.
"Yes?"
the woman said. She was rubbing her eyes and blinking at them. Leslie knew LePere was waiting for him to speak, but he didn't. After an awkward silence, LePere finally said, "Sorry we woke you."